Well, today, as we're continuing to go through Advent, and as you just heard, today we are focusing on and meditating on joy. And Advent, you know, as we just was in the prayer, I just shared, Jesus came and we rejoice and we celebrate that Jesus came as a child. He fulfilled so many scriptures. And according to everything that was prophesied about him, he came, he was born in Bethlehem, he lived, he walked, he did miracles, he did all these things. And we absolutely and rightfully rejoice over that. God, thank you that you did this and that's appropriate. But also during Advent, we look forward to and we meditate on and we think about and we reach for that he's going to come again. That the first time he came as a child and he came to save and he brought us into this new epic season where we get an opportunity. Most of us get about 80 years or so to choose him in the midst of options. But here's the beauty. He's going to come again. He's going to come again. And we engage in and we lean towards the joy of knowing that so many things that we see right now are temporary. Amen? Death, temporary. Evil, temporary. Sin, temporary. But life in Christ, we will live forever in the joy of knowing him as he is and knowing ourselves and one another as he knows us. Come on. And we look forward to that. So today, as we're meditating on this, as we're looking at this, as we're leaning into that joy, we know that the joy that we find is in the person of Christ and his kingdom. That we live in a time, as you guys know, that there's also, have you noticed that not everything looks like the kingdom of heaven yet? I don't know if you guys noticed that. And I don't know about you, but I tend to have some waves of the blues that hit me during the holidays. Does anybody else here? I mean, truly, like, do you get like these waves of sadness that just sort of, they kind of just blow through? For me, it's like, I'm usually really excited about Thanksgiving. It's going to be happening. It's really cool. We're planning. We're going to be together. And then I'll just kind of get bowled over with just like, oh, sadness that hits me. And the same thing with Christmas. I got the anticipation of being together with family, of opening gifts, of all these wonderful things. But also there's a wave of sorrow that usually rolls through. There's a sense of some sadness. And I think that all of us experience that because I think in these times, these holy days, these times when we come together as a family, we come together around the reality of Christ, and especially in Christmas, we're coming around the promise and the ideals of his kingdom. We're coming around the very thing that he came to do was to reconcile us together as a family in him, and all of us came from a family. And when we gather, I think oftentimes we have this ache, this yearning for that forever home with God where everyone's at the table. Does anybody feel that where you're just like, and there's no more marriages that are on the edge, you know? There's no more weird divorced 18 Christmases with your extended family, right? Are you guys, it's one Christmas and you're all together. And because of what God did, by the way, we won't be married to anybody anymore in heaven. We'll all be brothers and sisters in Christ with our one Father and our big brother Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and we'll be together and nobody's missing from the table. No, nobody's dealing with addictions. Nobody's struggling with their faith. Nobody's, are you guys, does anybody else feel that when this time comes, you feel that? And it's appropriate that we feel that because part of being in this world is to experience sorrow and the suffering of the already not yet kingdom. That God is saying, my kingdom has come, but my kingdom is coming. And we live in this already not yet kingdom. So if we're engaged with what he's doing, we're going to have a sense of sorrow. But that's not the only part of the story, is it? The reality is that if we're in Christ, there's also joy. And I want to talk to you about that today. We can't skip the sorrow. You get that, right? I mean, sorrow is like gravity. I was just talking to somebody here today, and I said, you know, the longer I'm here, the less I'm liking gravity. It just wins, doesn't it? It just grinds you down. Isn't this a fun preach so far? Are you guys enjoying this? It does. There's a reality. You and I don't have to, we don't have to try in this life to experience disappointment. It comes to you. You don't have to try in this life to experience sadness. It comes to you. You don't have to look for it. You don't have to work for it. Baby, it just shows up, doesn't it? The thing that we're invited into is a kingdom that brings something more than what we just experience in this life. This kingdom brings the person of joy. In Romans 14, 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." It's not just sitting around the table enjoying the food together, which is wonderful, but also righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you and I are in the kingdom, and indeed the kingdom is in us, then part of that reality is to experience the righteousness of Christ that he has put in us. The peace that we talked about last week in Christ through the Holy Spirit that he's put in us, and the joy. And so we're not just, guys, we're not going to be able to skip sorrow, okay? We're not going to skip sadness. In fact, the word even says, I want you to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. There's a range of us being present with people. We don't skip that, but our default setting as people who are in Christ is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's actually what is cultivated in us. Do you see that? And so, but here's the thing about it, that it's not, joy is not passive. You and I are not passive in the way that we engage with the joy of the Lord, because it's a real relationship with a real person. So there's something I've got to do. And that's the difference here between sadness and sorrow and frustration and these other things. They all happen to you. You don't have to be purposeful to have those things happen, right? But in the area of laying hold of the joy of the Lord, you and I have to be purposeful in that. Now, I'm not talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm not talking about like, right? It's not, I mean, I'm glad that worked for you, you jerks. The point was, I mean, I accidentally was awesome. I'm just kidding. Here's the deal. We actually have to purpose towards being present with the Lord in order to lay hold of the joy that comes from only him. And that doesn't happen passively. So it's not about performance, though. Do you understand that? It's not about performance, but it is about purpose. It is about that when you and I are in the practice of leaning towards him, of speaking with him, of meditating on what he says and on what he's doing, we will begin to find ourselves laying hold of and becoming aware of, but also we will be being filled with the Holy Spirit as we continue to be in relationship with him. And but that takes an act of will. And so let me talk to you. Hebrews 12 here. Let me reference some scriptures here, guys. Make sure it's legal. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You see the purposefulness of that? I have to actually lay aside any weights that are being put on me. Where do they come from? All over, right? I mean, just go online and just look at really anything, and you get weights put on you. I'm not even go further. I think we all agree. And then the sin which so easily ensnares us, well, that's not hard. That's gravity. That's everywhere. It's just like, hey, come here. I will comfort you. You're sad right now? No problem. I got a little distraction for you. It comes to you. So we're laying that aside. And then let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy is a joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, some of you guys right now, I want you to catch this. It didn't say that the Lord enjoyed the cross. I know you've heard this, but I'm going to say it again. It doesn't say that he enjoyed the cross. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He, in the midst of the worst moment, was able to look towards what God had said he would do through the pain of the cross he had to carry. And how many of you guys know that we are also called to take up a cross daily and follow the Lord? So there's pain in each day. There's some sorrow in each day. There's some dying to my will and saying, Lord, but let it be your will that we go through each day. That's part of it, okay? But when we're doing it and we're feeling that pain of it, and some days are worse than others, right? Some of you right now might be going through, very likely, there's at least one person in this room today that's in one of the hardest seasons you've ever been through in your life. And it's probably more than one, but there's some people here and you're like, dude, like maybe this preach hasn't done anything for you yet because all that you're in is in that place right now because that's what's happening in your life. And I want to say to you, it's okay that you're not just walking on sunshine right now. It's like what you can do in this moment when we talk about joy is you can lean forward and say, it might not have happened yet. And the worst may yet happen today or tomorrow or in the next month. It may happen. But God, my Jesus Christ, will come again. And in that day, I will say to death, I'll look it in the face and I'll say, where's your sting, death? You have ceased and we continue. I will say to disease, where are you, disease? Christ has completely defeated you and you will never come again. And when we're in the midst of the crucible, the cross that we're bearing, whether it's losing a dear one or whether it's going through something yourself, whatever it is, your own soul knows it. But I want you to know that in those moments, we look unto the perfecter of our faith and we say, okay, Jesus, you endured the actual cross for us. I'm enduring some of that cross in my life now, but I'm looking towards your joy. And I'm going to let that strengthen me to make it through one more day. And every day that you wake up, you just keep doing that. Because you know what happens when you do that? He shows up and he helps you carry that. He shows up. This isn't about you and I stirring something up. It's not an emotional state that we're stirring up. It's that I actually begin to look out and I say, he's coming again. He's coming again. I look out and you guys, I'm telling you, in the spirit, heaven opens. You remember when Stephen was being stoned and he said, I see heaven opened and I see Christ seated by the Father. And they killed him in that moment. He's literally being murdered with stones because they're thinking he's blaspheming, right? But he sees heaven and his face is shining as he's reflecting the reality of the kingdom, the already not yet kingdom, but it's coming and he sees it. In that day, he goes to it. Now, I don't want any of you going today, all right? But every one of us is going and it is coming. And there will be a day when the thing we look towards will receive. And in the moment when you're enduring any crosses that you must, in this life, I want you to lay hold of that and say, I'm going to look towards that someday this pain will end. And so I'm going to continue on and I'm going to not let these other lovers, these other medications, these other things, or even the bitterness of my own soul tell me lies that will take away from the reality of what God is bringing. Are you with me? And it makes you aware that this is a temporary pain. It is excruciating. It is horrifying. And without his grace, no, you won't make it. But if you look unto the joy set before you, you will find that the grace is sufficient for you and he will pull you through and this day will end. And one day all of this will end. I want you to lean into that today. I want you to lean into that in this season, but I want us to lean into that always to remember that when we're in those places. you know, the joy of the Lord is the strength that carries us through in this place. This is, it was one of my favorite scriptures. It's from Nehemiah 8, 10 through 11. And I'm just going to give you a quick backdrop. Nehemiah has heard from the Lord to go and rebuild Jerusalem, which has been desolate for ages and generations. He goes and by the miracle and favor of God, rebuilds the destroyed walls that surround Jerusalem. And then he calls back the captives and they start rebuilding. And it's just an incredible story. I love Nehemiah. And then finally, they come to a point now where things are starting to get better. There's 42,000 exiles that have returned to Jerusalem. So things are actually going pretty good. And so then they call and they say, hey, Ezra, come and read the law to us. One of the prophets that's there, the priests, come read the law to us. And as they begin to read the law and explain it, then the people begin to weep because they recognize the distance between what should be and where they are. And they begin to weep. And Nehemiah says to them this. Then he said to them, go your way and eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. So they weren't, the fact that they were weeping was because they were looking at reality as it is. Okay, so as we're engaging with joy, it's not that we're in denial about the broken things in this life or the things that we have to face or the hard stuff. No, it's not that. It's that's not the only thing that's going on. And so that's again where we're called to be purposeful and to say, okay, yes, gravity's working. Yes, this hard moment is going on. Yes, whatever it is, your heart knows it, but that's not the only thing that's going on. I got last week on Tuesday, I got a phone call and I found out that our founding pastor, John Bowers, he's been fighting pancreatic cancer, and he just got terrible news, and it has spread to his stomach and his lungs. And so they said, you got 6 months about, based on, you know, and if you take chemo, maybe 12 to 18 months. And so he, for the sake of, I think, probably of Lena Gay, he's going to go ahead and take the chemo and see how long he can stay present with us. And that, man, that sucks, you know? And I'm just like, come on, because this last year has been miraculous that he's been given in the midst of it. I mean, he was taking chemo, and the only side effect that he had, and anybody who knows anyone who's ever been in chemo, it is really intense, but the only thing that he had, he didn't have any of those horrific side effects that y'all know. I'm not even going to list them. He was just very sleepy. He slept a lot more, but he's had a wonderful year with his wife and with his family. And it's like, wow, Lord. And then he comes in, the numbers are looking good. And then we hear this. And I'm just like, man. 15 minutes later, I'm at a meeting with that I needed to be at. And as I get there, I was with Steve Buss. And I said, Steve, this is the information I just got. And he goes, let's go in the office. Let's pray. So we begin to pray together. And after we're done praying, he said, well, you know, Jen, who works here for Every Child, she just gave birth to her second healthy child. Both of those things just happened in the same 15 minutes for me, but in the same day, both of those things, they're both happening. And what I want to say is this, I can't just focus at the sadness of that we're soon going to lose John, who I dearly love, because at the same time also, That I can't say all is lost. I can't say all is broken. I can't say all is sad, because something is sad. Something is broken. Death is not yet defeated. Disease is still here. But at the same time, you know what else is going on? God is creating new life. A new child is just born. You see, we're called to live in this place where we're able to not skip the hard places, but that we are able to lean into the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Do you see that? We're not in denial about the hard things. We weep the tears, but we are not allowed to just only cry. We weep for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I want to encourage us in this season to cultivate that. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the part that we have to grab a hold of. You see, joy is a reality in Christ. And when you and I meditate on who he is and on the good things that are happening, what happens is we also become recipients of the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of Christ, and his reality is he is the person of joy. And he carries us through now, and he will carry us through until then. And one day all things will be made fully joyful, but until then he is in us. And because of that, we are able to be joyful. I love this. I'm going to wrap up with this, but there's two different quotes I enjoyed. One was from Henry Nouwen. "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." This is us choosing to be with Christ, to look at those things. We must be purposeful, guys. It does take actually going, "I am sad about this. I will weep about this, but I will turn and I will now rejoice about this." If you only do one, you're only being half honest about reality. Can you receive that? Don't skip the tears. Have them. But it is not true that there are only tears. Richard Foster, a quote from him says, "The decision to set the mind on the higher things of life is an act of will. And that is why celebration is a discipline." I love that. Did you catch that? Celebration is a discipline. It's not something that falls on our heads. It's the result of a consciously chosen way of thinking and living. I want to encourage everyone in this house to continue in the discipline of celebration. Celebrating everything that is good, that is right, that is pure, that is of a good report. So I want to encourage you this season and always, I want you to weep tears with those who are sad. And then I want you to invite them into the joy of the Lord. I want you to weep the tears you must weep, but I want you to then throw a party, because celebration is a discipline of followers of Christ, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're able to bring hope and healing in this world because of the strength brought by his joy in the midst of the sorrow. Amen? Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to pray with you, and we'll go rescue our children's church workers from the cinnamon roll fueled kiddos. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. I bless you that the grace of God through the Holy Spirit would bring you tears of healing and comfort, followed by hope and joy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a wonderful week. Merry Christmas season. We'll see you next Sunday.